All right. Good morning, everyone. It's good to have you guys today. My name's Steve. I'm one of the pastors here at the Rio Church. So as a church, over the last few months, we've been doing some different church goals. One of the goals was just to pray for five people in the church every day. And another goal was to make some kind of just personal outreach goal or just sow a goal where you would do something to tell other people about the message of Jesus. But the other one was kind of different. It related to our emotions. And just like once a week or so, journaling our emotions and trying to just see if there's any pattern of the type of things that we think about. And then just as we journal, just to pray and just tell God, man, thanks God for loving me right where I'm at. You know, whether I'm struggling all the time or doing well or whatever's going on in here, you love me just as I am. And I think that's a really valuable exercise. For me, it was a little challenging. I'm not a terribly emotional person in some ways. I don't know exactly how that works out. I'll cry during movies and stuff. Sometimes I'll cry up here. But I tend to be pretty level, I guess. And so it's a little frustrating to write how I'm feeling, and it's like the same thing every time. One of the things, though, I've noticed about myself is that there can be a bit of a low level of angst in my life. Kind of a, like, oh, I feel like I should be doing more in the world. I feel like God's created me for something more than what I'm actually doing. And I think it relates to our call as Christians. And for me, it's like I want to walk in this joy of, man, I've been forgiven and I've been shown grace. And so there's this reason to be happy and to be thankful for what Jesus has done. But there's this reality of we live in a lost, dying, broken world. And so we would hope that there'd be some way that we could reach out to this world. And I think that's the angst in my life, or at least some of the angst. Is it's like, how do I do this? How do I connect with this world? In Matthew 7, Jesus said, enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction. And many enter through it. Small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life. And only a few find it. I don't like that. I don't know of anyone who likes that. You know, that's a hard teaching that Jesus gives there. The idea that only a few people are going to heaven. I'm hoping it's relatively few. I'm hoping it's still millions of people. But certainly more people are not going to heaven than people who are going to heaven from what Jesus said here. And so that's the type of thing that bugs me, because it's like, well, I want to enjoy life and be happy and just, you know, experience all that God has for me. But I also see that there's this world full of people who don't understand what Jesus has done for them. C.S. Lewis said, there are no ordinary people. You have never talked to a mere mortal. Nations, cultures, arts, civilization, these are mortal. And their life is to ours as the life of a gnat. But it is immortals whom we joke with, work with, marry, snub, and exploit. Immortal horrors or everlasting splendors. And that's the reality. It's like, man, we're all going to live forever. With God in heaven or separated from God in hell. And as much as I enjoy the Christian life and what Jesus has done for me, and I want to stay in that spot, I also realize it's like, oh, there's this world outside of me that needs to hear the message that I've been given, that needs to receive the grace that I've received. And so I feel a little frustrated sometimes, like, okay, what do I do with that? How do I take this message that I've received and share it with other people? Because, I mean, I have my own fears, right? There's an awkwardness to doing that. But even just in terms of effectiveness, like, how do we share this message with people in a way that makes a difference? And I can feel a little sometimes like, it's not that nothing works. It's like everything works, but barely. You know, it's like you could just, it's like you work, and then maybe like one person crosses from death to life. And that's still good. But let me share an example. You guys remember the story that I told about the guy who I used to work with, and he was moving his desk, and a label fell off of the bottom of his desk and had a verse on it. And he saw the verse, and he realizes that God was trying to get to him because this desk manufacturer had put verses on their desk labels. And he's just like, man, what are the odds that God would try to get to me through this label? So it's like, okay, well, that worked, but I wouldn't expect that to work. You know, it's just something that God put on someone's heart, and it actually worked. But it's not like I think we should be like, oh, let's put labels on everything. You know, just think what a difference it will make. So it's like if we found something that works, that's what you could do, right? You just milk it. You're just like, all right, this works. Let's really pursue this thing. So in my life, I think personally and as a pastor, that leaves me in this spot of like, what can we do? So I want to talk about that this morning. And I want to talk about something that we can do. It's not going to be like rocket science. It's not going to be this new, like, wow, what an amazing idea. Because I haven't come across that yet. But I feel like we need to do something. We need to do anything to share this message with people. So let's pray. God, we pray that you would help us, God, that we would experience you, that we would experience joy in life, but we would also recognize that we are in a lost, dying world. And you have given us hope. And you have given us love. And you have shown us mercy and grace. And I thank you, Jesus, that you went to the cross for us to pay for our sins so that our sins could be dealt with and that we could have eternal life through faith in you and faith in what you've done for us instead of trying to work our own way to you. What good news that is. I pray, God, that you would help us in sharing this message with this lost world. Because, God, I can be fired up for that, but sometimes it's like, I don't even know where to start. God, give us a place to start here this morning. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, I want to share four more quotes with you. First three are from Jesus. This first one is right after he rose from the dead and he appeared to his disciples. And he says, "This is what is written, the Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem." If you could just circle the words "all nations" on your handout. All nations. What's his heart there? His heart is that this message of hope and forgiveness, what Jesus did for them on the cross, that this message would go out to all nations, would go out to people on the wide path, right? He has a heart for these people who are headed down the wrong path. They're headed down the path of destruction instead of the path of life. And his hope is that the people on the path of life would share this message with the people who are on the path to destruction in hopes that some of them would cross over, that some of them would put their faith in what Jesus did for them, and that they would find eternal life. They would cross from death to life. Jesus says a similar thing in Galilee in Matthew 28. This is a different instance, though. Verse 16, it says, "Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. Surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age.'" Again, here, if you could just circle the words "all nations" and just think about who are these nations? Who is he concerned about here? Well, it's, again, these people who are on the path to destruction. The people who've chosen the wide path instead of the narrow path. The people who are trying to work their way to God instead of trusting in what Jesus did for them on the cross. And then right before his ascension back up into heaven in Acts 1:8, Jesus said, "You'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." If you could circle "ends of the earth." Once again, we see Jesus' heart for all people, for all these lost people. And so I think it's good to recognize, you know, hey, when I'm feeling this angst, this isn't just my problem, right? This is God's problem. I might care about this. God cares about this far more. I don't have personal responsibility for every soul in the world. And yet I see here three different times Jesus is saying, hey, I want to work through you guys. I want you guys to take this message to the whole world, to these people who are on the wrong path. And that puts me back in that spot of angst, like, oh, okay, how do I do that? I mean, even if it's like, okay, I'll go be a missionary. You know, at some point, you show up in another country and you're like, all right, what do I do? That's what I want to think about. I love this story. This is a tract that was supposedly written by an atheist. As I read it, you might doubt that. Seems a little too Christian-y for that to be true, but it's still a good thought. This story is delivered by a man named C.T. Studd. He was a missionary to Africa. And he writes, about this time, I met with a tract written by an atheist. It read as follows. Did I firmly believe, as millions say they do, that the knowledge and practice of religion in this life influences destiny in another, religion would mean to me everything. I would cast away earthly enjoyments as dross, earthly cares as follies, earthly thoughts and feelings as vanity. Religion would be my first waking thought, and my last image before sleep sank me into unconsciousness. I should labor in its cause alone. I would take thought for the morrow of eternity alone. I would esteem one soul gained for heaven worth a life of suffering. Earthly consequences should never stay my hand nor seal my lips. Earth, its joys and its griefs would occupy no moment of my thoughts. I would strive to look upon eternity alone and on the immortal souls around me, soon to be everlastingly happy or everlastingly miserable. I would go forth to the world and preach to it in season and out of season, and my text would be, what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? I at once saw that this was the truly consistent Christian life. I at once saw that this is the cause of much angst in my life. Because he's right, this is the truly consistent life. It's not really my life, though. And even if I want it to be my life, it's like, what do I do? What steps can I take to live this truly consistent Christian life? And so, to live the truly consistent Christian life, we must try something. We must try anything to hold out a hand to a lost and dying world. I mean, if the love of Jesus means anything to us, then certainly we would care for our fellow mankind and do something to let them know that they can have eternal life by putting their faith in Jesus Christ. And so I want to just throw out some different ideas of what people have done, some different ideas that people have had on how they could spread the message of Jesus to the world. As I go through these ideas, we're going to look at some different pictures. Some are going to just be like way out there. You're going to be like, man, that's just craziness. And then some are going to be a little bit laughable and kind of silly. I want you to understand, though, that's not my heart in sharing these, because I appreciate the people who are doing these things are trying something. They're trying anything to spread this message to the world. And so some of these we might want to imitate. Some would be like, okay, well, maybe that's something that we could do. And I think that's what we're looking for, is what connects with me? What connects with us as a church family? So we could raise a bunch of money and put up billboards, put them all over the city. Could have a little phrase. It could be an invitation to church. Could be a verse. Could put it on a semi-trailer. Put a verse on your car. I've never done this myself, but I appreciate the mindset that goes behind it. I think it would go something like this. It'd be similar to that quote from C.S. Lewis, where he recognizes that every person is going to live forever, with God or apart from God. And so what these people, I think what they're thinking is, as I'm driving down the road, I'm passing by hundreds of people, maybe thousands of people who are immortal souls, who are going to be in heaven or hell. And so I got to do something. You know, maybe I could at least put a verse in my car and they would see this verse, and maybe that would be the thing that would help somebody. And they're doing that mindset. I got to do something, anything. And so even though I don't do this myself, I appreciate that people have that heart of, I got to get this message out somehow. It seems kind of desperate, but I kind of like that. They're just so desperate, they'll do anything. You might have heard of the phrase social gospel. Social gospel is basically the idea that we would spread the message of Jesus through helping people, which is a great thing. And so maybe it's helping people who are hungry, or helping people who are caught up in the slave trade, or the sex trade, or people who are in some kind of needy situation, or they're undereducated, just anything. You find these social needs, and then you help them. And the catch is, of course, at some point, it needs to transition from being the social gospel to the gospel of Jesus, or the message of how people can be forgiven. Right? Because it doesn't do anyone any good if someone's starving and you give them a sandwich, but they still end up not going to heaven. You didn't really meet their genuine, deepest need. On the other hand, it might be that you would go and try to share the message of Jesus with somebody, and they can't pay attention to you because they're so hungry. And so the social gospel is a good thing to share the love of Jesus in very real, very practical ways to very needy people. That's a wonderful thing. But at some point, we still have to make this transition to, and here's the message of hope and love and forgiveness. You might have heard of something called servant evangelism. Servant evangelism is just where you go out into the community and you try to do something nice for people. Like today was the Braden Abowd Fun Run. Abowd? Abowd? I never know how to say that word. But Abowd? The Braden Abowd Fun Run. And so like you could go and bring buckets of water, ice water, and pass it to people as they're running by. And it might just be water. Maybe it would have a verse on it or something. And it's just a way of loving people. Or I've heard of people that like take a bucket of cleaning supplies and will go to different businesses and walk in and say, hey, is it okay if I clean your bathroom? Kind of weird, but it's just this way of saying, hey, I want to do something loving. We knew a church that used to get some space in the mall. And at Christmas time, they would wrap people's Christmas gifts for free. You didn't pay anything. They didn't take any donations. And so those are just ways of serving people in a loving way. And then hopefully they're kind of like, okay, what are you doing? Why are you doing this? And then you can say, well, because we love people. And because Jesus has loved us, and so we want to show love to people. And then you have to make this transition, just like with the social gospel. When I think about different forms of evangelism, one thing I think about is when I was a kid, maybe in junior high or high school, there used to be this guy at different sporting events, and he would hold up the sign that said John 3:16. And I can't remember if he's called Rainbow Man or Rainbow Head, but he wore that wig. And the thing I remember is whenever they'd kick a field goal, they would go to kick the field goal and they would all line up. And then at some point, the camera has to look right through the uprights, right? And then you see the John 3:16 sign come up. And I'm not completely sport illiterate, so I understand this is not football on the screen, but I couldn't find a good football picture of it. So his idea there is people will get curious. They see it enough times that it stands out, and they look it up, and it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish but have eternal life. And that maybe, you know, maybe 1 out of 100, maybe 1 out of 1,000, maybe 1 out of 10,000, that would actually touch their life and it would make a difference. And so it was kind of cool. I overheard someone, I think it was one of my teachers, as I was waiting outside her door. She was talking to someone, and she's like, oh, have you ever seen those John 3:16 signs that they hold up at sporting events? I'm like, oh, this should be interesting. Eavesdropping. She's like, yeah, I looked it up the other day. I was curious. It's like, what is it? And the other person's like, well, what was it? She's like, well, I don't know. I looked it up, and it didn't have anything to do with sports. And so, I don't know. I guess it doesn't work on everybody. But it became so famous that he made it to The Simpsons, which if I was doing that, I would personally feel like that's a certain level of victory. You're like, yes, made it to The Simpsons. I think the guy ended up in some legal troubles and had some problems after that. But I admire that. He was trying to do something, trying to do anything. I get Reader's Digest for 3 reasons. One is my mom buys it for me. 2 is I like the jokes. And 3 is I'm old. And so this last issue of Reader's Digest, the last 2 pages had full-page ads, the type that kind of look like they're an article, but they say this is an advertisement or something so that you know that Reader's Digest didn't put it in there. And it was these 2 full-page ads, and it was talking about end times and some organization's beliefs about how the world was going to come to an end. I didn't really agree with it. I didn't think it was right. But I admired that they had a message that they felt the world needed to hear, and they gathered up enough money to buy these two full-page ads, which I'm sure was not cheap, and they put it in there in hopes that it would make a difference with somebody. Somebody would make a difference. When I think of evangelism, I often think of people holding up signs, people downtown, street preachers, and that type of thing. Again, I don't know if that helps people. I don't know if it pushes people away from Jesus, but I do admire people doing it because they're doing something. They're doing anything. They're like, oh, I've got to tell people somehow about this message. I've known people who've carried a cross like across the campus or through a community, through a city, or across the United States. And as they carry the cross, the hope is that somebody will stop them. And they'll stop them and say, hey, what are you doing? Why are you carrying a cross? And they say, well, I'm carrying this cross because Jesus died for me and I want to share this message with other people. And look, he brought you into my life, and it opens a door for them to talk to the person. When I think about evangelism, I think about people going door to door. Going door to door kind of makes sense because you're like, oh, if I wanted to talk to everybody in our community, I could actually check off houses. And maybe you could do it in a way that's not too obtrusive and that would be just an opportunity for people to talk about spiritual things if they're interested. Think about Christian music. If you're trying to reach the world, we all know that music is very popular, and somehow it touches the heart. Maybe it touches the soul. I don't know. It does something really deep. It's really powerful. And so I can appreciate musicians who have thrown their lives at touching people with their music. Think about radio stations. I had a friend who was a missionary with Trans World Radio, and what they would do is have their radio stations, and they would broadcast into countries where, like Bibles and pamphlets and stuff, weren't allowed to go. And it's pretty hard to stop a radio signal. Yeah, I thought, man, that's a pretty cool thing to do. So I thought that was a good idea, and I really liked the K-Jab radio station. It just gave me an immediate mental image of like stabbing somebody with the sword of the spirit. So I thought that was a good name. So anyway, there are lots of different things that people could do or that we could do. And so we need to think through ourselves. If it's like, okay, we have this message that we need to share with the world, how do we share this message with the world? And I don't know any of those things that's like super effective. Like, oh, the people that do this, man, it's just crazy. People are coming to the Lord by the thousands. So if we don't know what's super effective, what do we do? And what do we do as a church? So I feel like as a church, we must do something. We must do anything to move beyond the holy huddle mentality. And what I mean by that is it's really easy for a church to just kind of protect itself from the outside world. If you think of who we are, it's like we're a group of people who come together to worship God for what He saved us from. We're praising God. God, thank you for what you've done for us. And there's something about doing that together that's wonderful and beautiful. And we're a circle of friends. There's this love and this commitment, this relationship. And we share a common belief, a common hope, and we have a camaraderie with one another. And that's a wonderful thing. But again, if we're just this little group of people protecting ourselves from the mean, dark, ugly outside world, well, we could run this risk of just, you know, being our little holy huddle and, hey, let's just protect ourselves. Let's hide from the outside world. And that's good to a degree for church to be kind of a safe incubator sort of group of people. That's good, just like within a family, it's good to kind of retreat from the outside world. But there's also a time when you got to reach out and touch the outside world. So we don't want to be like a hospital that's full of doctors and nurses and medical staff who don't have any patients. And so we just sit in our hospital and play solitaire all day long and have little parties while we're in the midst of a whole community full of people who are sick and dying. You know, if that's the case, then what we need to do is we need to connect the caregivers to those needing care. And for us, we need to connect the message bearers to those needing the message. Those who have been given hope to those who still need the hope. And so we're going to try something. I'm not saying this is the greatest plan in the world. It's not like new. It's not profound. It's not deep. It's not going to shock you. But I just, it's like we have to try anything. And I want us to take what we try and to just kind of throw ourselves at it. And it's really simple. We already talked about it during announcements. We're going to have an outreach series. Not profound, no gasps, nothing too exciting there, right? Series is going to be on relationships. And the reason is because we all need help in relationships. And I feel like God has given us wisdom, not just in telling us to love one another, but He's also helped us to learn how to do that. He's given us insights that can actually make a difference in our lives. So our series is called Love Is. It's focused on love. And it's for the outside, but it's also for us. Jesus said, in Ephesians, Paul talked about how we're called to live a life of love just as Christ loved us. This is our calling as Christians, is to live a life of love. And yet we understand just practically it's kind of cool theoretically, right? Like, oh yeah, we're supposed to love people. But it's hard in actual relationships. Right? Just look around the room. Is everybody easy for you? Is there anybody you avoid? Anybody you don't want to talk to after the service? Anybody who just you kind of have something against? You have an offense? It's hard to genuinely love people. Even in marriage, it's hard. The person that should be the closest person to you, that you have this deep commitment with. Sometimes marriage can just be brutally hard. In our small group, recently, instead of doing an icebreaker just to start getting everybody to talk a little bit at the beginning of a discussion, we've been doing something called highs and lows. And that's where everybody shares the high of their week and the low of their week. And it's good for getting to know one another and to know what's going on in each other's lives and in our hearts. But it's been fascinating how about, I would say, a third to a half of the time, people's lows relate to their work relationships. Oh, my boss was such a jerk, or, you know, oh, my coworker is trying to make me look bad. Or it's very real, the challenge to love people. We love it theoretically. It's very hard to do practically. And so we need this ourselves, but this is also for others, for people outside the church, because everybody needs help in this. Everybody wants deeper relationships. We all want to be close to people, but we all find that to be a very hard thing to do. It's hard to have deep, meaningful relationships. So we need to understand, for this to have any kind of meaningful impact, first of all, we've got to realize that we are not trying to attract people with how cool we are as a church. You know, we're not doing an outreach series saying, hey, come to our church because we're cool. You'll really like it and, you know, maybe you'll stick around, because we're just not that cool. You know, seriously, I mean, we meet in a warehouse. You know, I love our worship. I loved walking in here this morning and we had the whole band. It's like, oh man, it was good to even just worship a little bit before everyone came. And it's a billion times better than the worship that they had in church as I was growing up. But realistically, people listen to professional musicians all week long. And so when they come here, they're not dazzled by how amazing our music is, right? And when I deliver messages, I try to work hard on them. I try to make them interesting. I try to make them life-changing. You know, I try to work with God. Sometimes I'm like, come on, God, work with me. But I understand. You could get on YouTube and listen to Francis Chan. Or if you wanted something really intellectual, you could listen to Ravi Zacharias. I understand there are a lot of public speakers and preachers who are far more interesting than me. And I understand our kids in Sunday school, you know, our teachers do a great job with them and stuff, but we're competing against, you know, thousands of dollars that are put into the TV shows that they watch. So it's pretty hard to compete at a coolness level. And we just can't do it, and we can't think that way. If we think that way, we're really going to be missing the mark. We need to understand this. What we have to offer people up front is love. That's what we have. Francis Chan is going to be way funnier, way more interesting to me. And I'm not a particularly loving, huggy, sort of warm person. I understand that. But I'm going to be more loving and huggy with you than Francis Chan is, unless you know him. But, you know, it's like we're a family. And there's love here. And that's something that we have to offer people. There are a lot of people who long for loving relationships. And we're not perfect at it, but we're committed to it. And we work at it. So last week we had Men of God. And at Men of God, I read a little article. It's written by a man named Jim Wiebelhaus. I know Jim. He's a pastor in Lincoln, Nebraska. And he's a white guy. That's important to the story. Because he runs an international student ministry from Lincoln, Nebraska. And he has all these, I don't know, Asian students and just all kinds of people in Lincoln, Nebraska, which is not known for a lot of internationals, right? And so he wrote this article explaining what he does. And basically, these international students come to the United States, and what do they want? They want to meet people. They want to be loved. And they're lonely, and they want to learn the language, so they want to talk to people, and they want to learn about our ways, our cultures, our customs. And they come here, and 85% of them never get invited into an American home. And so what he does is he just loves these people and invites them over to his house and loves on them, and they play with his kids. And I hope you can see that, in a sense, that's almost easy. It's like shooting fish in a barrel. Like, there's such desire that these students have to connect with somebody, and he's there saying, hey, I'd love to connect with you. And then, of course, his desire is not that just he would build friendships there, but eventually he could help these people find a relationship with Jesus. That's the goal. And so when we look at Jim Wiebelhaus, it's easy to look at that and be like, oh, yeah, that makes sense. What about your coworkers or your neighbors? I bet 85% of them have never been in your house either. And I bet they're lonely. And that some of them are just dying to be in a relationship with someone. Not all of them, but some of them. And so maybe we have an opportunity not just to bring people into our church and be like, oh, look how cool we are, but an opportunity to actually love people, to work on a deep love here with one another, and then to bring people into that and love on them, and then help them connect with Jesus. But in this, we have to remember, and this is so hard to remember, our goal is not to bring people into church. That cannot be our goal. We have to love them. We have to have a goal of loving them and connecting with them and then helping them find Jesus. If our goal is to bring them into church, they're going to come to church, they're going to sit here, they're going to come every week. It'll be an event that they go to. God's not calling them into an event, but into a family. We don't have a cool event. We have a family that holds an event. We're inviting them into the family, though, and then introducing them to Jesus. For this to have any meaningful impact, people actually have to get invited, right? And that's the catch. And that's hard because that means somehow this little flyer has to get in someone's hands. And at some point, that's going to be awkward. Maybe for a few of you it's not, but for most of us, that's going to produce some kind of awkwardness. I think one of the most non-threatening things to do is to walk up to someone's house, stick this on their door, and then walk away. And if that's too scary, you can walk up to their house, stick this on the door, and run away. Okay? And even though I've done that thousands of times, literally, it's still the first couple doors I hit, it's still kind of scary. But the hope is just maybe somebody would get a flyer and they'd be like, Oh, I'm new to town. I've been looking for a place to connect. Oh, I'm lonely. I'd like to grow in my relationships. Well, my marriage is struggling. Wow, as I look through these topics, some of these would really help in my marriage. So the hope is to kind of connect with things that people are dealing with. And so what we're doing is this Saturday, whoever wants to come, we're going to meet at my house at 8:30 in the morning, and we're going to pray for about a half hour, and then we're just going to go out and pass out flyers in neighborhoods that are close by. If you see someone on the street and you want to, you can talk to them and say, hey, I'm just going around inviting people to my church. It's pretty harmless. People won't be bothered by that. So it's a pretty easy thing to do, and we're going to do that for a couple of hours and then meet back around lunchtime and have a barbecue or a potluck. And so if you would like to come do that with others, I think that's a little bit easier. That's a great way to do that. But the reality is the best invitations are personal invitations. We printed off 5,000 flyers. If we pass out 5,000 flyers, my past experience would be that 0 to 2 families will come to church. Okay? We've had better luck for some reason on the other side passing out flyers at the airport location. So they'll probably get the 2 families. I don't know why. And I don't know. Passing out with personal invitations, I would guess it's if you invite 10 people, one of them's going to come. And so I don't know. Again, I don't know how to reach people. I don't know what works. But I feel like I need to try something. I don't want to wear a rainbow-colored wig and go to games and hold up John 3:16. I just think, you know, maybe just inviting people into our church family, into a loving environment, when they're lonely, they want relationships, and maybe they're interested in God, maybe that's not such a crazy idea. And maybe I could overcome my fears to just invite a few people to church. And so I want to encourage you this week or even over the next few weeks, could you just personally invite a few people, particularly friends and coworkers and people you know? I think a cold turkey invite's still good, like you're paying for something at the cash register. Hey, can I invite you to my church? That's fine too. But I think what would really be effective is if we invite people who are already in our lives, people who are already our friends. So I just want to encourage you to do that. If you could even just think about that now, and there's a stack of flyers out there, and just be like, oh yeah, I'm going to try to invite 6 people and just pick up your 6 flyers. And if you want to hit your neighborhood and just pass out to your whole neighborhood, grab 100 flyers, whatever you need, I can make more or bring more. And that's our plan. Again, it's not rocket science, but I just feel like we've got to do something. We've got to do anything. And I think this is a reasonable step for us to take as a church. This, we have a message that's worth sharing that people need to hear. And so let's try to connect with people. Bring them into our meeting so that we can love on them. And then as we build relationship, we can help connect people with Jesus. So let's go ahead and pray. Lord, we thank you for this time here this morning. And I thank you for the work that you have done in each one of our lives. Thank you for the mercy that you've shown us. Thank you for the hearts of all those people, the pictures that we looked at earlier, of people who've just tried something. They've tried just anything they could do to reach out. And I really admire the faith that has gone behind that. And I admire the faith that's been expressed by the people in this room as they have done bar outreach and as they've passed out flyers and as they've met people for lunches and they've reached out to their coworkers and they've started Bible studies and they've talked to kids in Sunday school and they've done all kinds of different things to reach out. That's beautiful. That's beautiful. And I pray, God, that you would just help us to be able to make a connection with our community. Just even as I've been working to promote Faith Camp, it just gnaws at me that I know as people are at Faith Camp, they're going to be like, oh, I wish so-and-so was here. I wish my friend, oh, this would have been so good for this one person. And God, the same thing with this series. I really trust that you're going to use it. And it's going to be a blessing. And it's just going to be so easy to be sitting here thinking, oh, I wish my neighbor was here for this. Oh, I wish my friend would have heard this part. And so, God, I pray that you would give us the foresight to invite people and not just have regrets later on. So we thank you that you have given us a message that's exciting and that's worth sharing. And I pray you would help us to overcome any fear or other obstacles that we have in sharing that message with others. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. Band's going to come up and do a couple more songs.